Support for This Day in Esoteric Political History comes from Odoo. What is Odoo? Well, Odoo is an all-in-one management software with apps for every business need. Odoo has apps for CRM, accounting, sales, HR, inventory, manufacturing, and everything in between. And they're all in one easy-to-use software. And the best part about Odoo? All Odoo apps are integrated, helping you get things done faster and more efficiently. So when you think about business, think Odoo. To learn more, visit odoo.com/thisday. That's odoo.com/thisday. Hello and welcome to This Day in Esoteric Political History from Radiotopia. My name is Jody Avergan. This day, January 13th, 2018, residents of Hawaii got an emergency alert on their phones and elsewhere, but mostly on their phones, that read, and I'm going to quote here, all caps, no surprise, ballistic missile threat inbound to Hawaii, seek immediate shelter, this is not a drill. This alert was sent at 8.07 a.m. local time. Good morning, everyone. And it would be 38 minutes before the alarm was retracted and people began to realize that this was, of course, a big, big, big scary mistake. So here to discuss the Hawaii inbound missile threat, not a drill, are, as always, Nicole Hammer of Columbia and Kelly Carter Jackson of Wellesley. Hello there.
Aloha, Jody. Hey there.
So there's a lot in this story, and then a lot in the sort of larger history of kind of false alarms and fear of annihilation, which and so forth. Let's start maybe at the more kind of personal level. We should give a shout out to the wonderful podcast Snap Judgment and radio show Snap Judgment. They did a piece about this where they talked to a lot of people about their personal reactions. We all just recently we listened to that. But Kelly, I mean, you and I were chatting before we started taping about just kind of what people would do in a moment like
this. Oh man, and the range varied so widely. So, I mean, on a very benign end, some people slept through all of it and woke up like, "What's going on?" And then there were other people who got it as they were headed to work, as they were headed out to, you know, start their day, and they panicked. They tried to find shelter. They tried to call their loved ones. They were trying to make last minute decisions about who they should save or how they should try to protect their loved ones. I mean, it was scary. One person had a heart attack and was basically officially dead for 11 minutes before they could revive them. I mean, it was anxiety inducing to the point where people still really felt the effects of their anxiety and their trauma days after it had been called off. But listening to each different perspective of like how people went about their days, Snap Judgment did a really good job.
Yeah.
And there were generational traumas involved as well. Of course, Hawaii is the site of the Pearl Harbor attack in 1941, but there are also a lot of Japanese immigrants and Japanese Americans in Hawaii, including one woman that they interviewed who had lived through the nuclear attack on Hiroshima. And you could imagine that having lived through that experience, having watched your neighbors die, not only that day, but in the fallout, in the days and weeks and months afterward, just the fear and the horror and the idea that, oh my God, is this happening again? That would trigger just a lifelong trauma.
You know, I tend to think, and I think this story, as you read accounts or hear, listen to accounts of this story, it's a reminder that, you know, in moments of crisis, people tend to act with sort of grace and a kind of like simplicity that is really sort of moving to me. I mean, people just reach out to loved ones. People sort of like, I think, I don't know if you saw the movie, but you know, our friend of the show, Adam McKay, did this new movie, Don't Look Up, you know, but like I really liked that movie. I found it very moving in many ways, but you know, the final scene, the sort of final quiet scene is the most affecting to me, where you just sort of, as the world is ending, spoiler alert, you know, people just kind of like find they turn to their loved ones and they find quiet moments and the sort of little things. And you see that in seemingly in the way people reacted here as well. Let's get to some of the bigger themes. Well, I guess we should do a little of the like TikTok of how this actually happened. This was clearly a mistake. One of my favorite moments in the Snap Judgment piece is where they have all these 911 calls. People are obviously calling 911 when they first get the alert, and they're like, what's going on? And 911 is like, we have no idea. You know, we don't know where this came from. Obviously, lack of information, huge part of the story here. But then once they realize that it's a mistake, there's the 911 calls where someone's like, what's the deal with this alert? And someone was like, that was a mistake. You know, it said, this is not a drill. It was supposed to read, this is a drill. And the person calling 911, you know, the person not calling 911 was like, well, you know, that's a pretty big mistake. And you know, it's like, yeah, that's a pretty big mistake.
You need
like,
to get it wanna, together.
Yeah. It's like, what do you want to speak to my manager? Like, of course it's a big mistake. Like, but it was just very funny that the person went into like, you should fix that next time. It's like, yeah, we're gonna fix this.
But the nonchalantness of it, sort of like, oh, my bad. No, like I mean, this man literally had such an anxiety attack that it led to a heart attack. Like, but the way everyone was sort of flippant about it a little bit was even more infuriating, because you were like, I could have died. Not really, but I could have died.
You saw that same gap in the reactions on Twitter, right? There were like half the people wringing their hands and extremely worried about what might be happening. And then the other half of the people just dunking on it endlessly, treating it as a joke. Because, you know, if you're not the one getting the alert, it's easier to be emotionally removed from it.
Right. Yeah. But anyway, what we have here is a Cold War era, you know, basically a warning system, or, you know, the remnants of a Cold War era warning system. Let's do a little of the TikTok. But this was, as far as we can tell, intended to be a test. And when you read a lot of these stories, right, a nice reminder that this comes down to kind of like real human beings who work in an office together and sometimes like forget to send the right email or like forget to CC the right person or whatever. And this seems to be one of those things where, you know, they were trying to do a test and some people didn't realize that they were doing a test. And so internally, the sort of office politics broke down and the office systems broke down. And so it reached a person who basically didn't realize, oh, this was supposed to be a test. And they sent out the alert as if it was real. Is that sort of roughly the picture? Any other details in the TikTok that are worth pointing out?
It's like the all dreaded reply all, you know, like where you hit it and you're like, no, that wasn't supposed to go to everyone. Like, I can only imagine how awful that person must have felt. But the fact that it also took, what, about 40 minutes to correct it, I think is also a big part of that. Had it been like 5 minutes later, maybe a lot of this trauma is avoided within a shorter amount of time frame. But I think it's the time frame that's so critical, because, you know, close to an hour, that's a lot of time for people to sort of panic.
Yeah, and there was a lot of confusion that was happening inside the Hawaii Emergency Management Agency, right? That people weren't quite sure what was going on. There was a shift change, and that small thing of just changing between the night shift and the day shift causes all of this chaos to unfold, and whatever fail-safes there were break down from just, you know, a simple changing of the guard, and somebody mishears like part of an announcement, and somebody doesn't get the message that this drill is about to happen. And those three pretty small things lead to all of this chaos in Hawaii.
Yeah. So one other wrinkle here, I'm a little loath to kind of try and pinpoint exactly what went wrong, because we still don't know all the details. And, you know, it's probably one of these things where it's like, five small mistakes add up to one big mistake. I mean, obviously, there are safeguards in place and there's a process in place. It's not like no one had thought that we shouldn't send out a false alarm. And so, you know, part of it is when they are doing this drill, they say, exercise, exercise, exercise. And then they do the language of the drill and then they end it with exercise, exercise, exercise. That's supposed to signal, you know, this is an exercise, this is a drill, but it still includes those words, this is not a drill, as part of the exercise, which may be worth looking at that protocol. But then apparently the person who was at the, you know, sort of end of this chain claims that they didn't hear the phrase exercise, exercise, exercise. And because of the shift change, they didn't know that there was a drill planned for their shift, because the drill had been planned by the previous shift manager, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That said, if you read around this, I don't want to put this down on just the one worker who screwed up, because I think it's always important to think about the larger systems that broke down. That said, the worker who did, at the end of the day, send this out, had, according to some reporting, quote, a history of confusing drill and real world events on at least two prior occasions. So maybe that's, you know, the military throwing this person under the bus or whatever. But man, not a good track record to have. If that's
you want to be like, get it together, Johnny. Yeah.
It's a mistake you should really only be allowed to make one time.
You make that mistake one time. That's a one-time mistake, I would say. That employee was terminated, did do an interview with NBC where they talked about, A, had gotten, you know, a lot of people tracked him down and sent them nasty messages, but also he talked a little bit about kind of the larger systems that had broken down for sure. And it was, you know, as is always the case, right, a breakdown of human error and the sort of safeguards that were in place. And it does make me think about a lot of these other notable incidents like this. I mean, the most famous one, I think, is someone monitoring a Russian ballistic defense system and getting a false alert that, like, basically the U.S. had launched a nuclear attack on Russia and was basically hovering over the button that would have started a counterattack and basically started a nuclear war. And something inside of this one human being just said, this feels off. This feels like it could be a false alarm. And it was. But, you know, when you read the sort of what are the scariest little missed moments in history, that's always at the top of the list of those Reddit threads or whatever. But it's like, you know, one person's spidey sense really saving us from nuclear war. Yeah.
And there's a commonality between that story and what happened in Hawaii, because they're happening in a context of heightened tensions where people think, actually, this could happen. We could be on the brink of nuclear war. And in the case
But is that right in 2018 in Hawaii? I mean, what's the context you're thinking of?
It's during the Trump administration. And at that point in time, there had been a lot of back and forth between President Trump and Kim Jong-un, who was the leader of North Korea. And North Korea has been accelerating in recent years in its ability to send out a nuclear missile. And they, I don't think at this time they could reach the mainland of the United States, but Hawaii would definitely be within the area that they could reach. And Trump and Kim Jong-un are trading back and forth this increasingly heated rhetoric, right? This is when Trump is calling him Little Rocket Man and Kim Jong-un is vowing to destroy him. And so there's this heightened emotional tension in Hawaii at this moment because there's all of this bluster and they're the ones on the chopping block.
Yeah. And Hawaii, I mean, when you think about the history of the United States and what places have been bombed, I mean, Hawaii, we think about Pearl Harbor and this history. The interesting thing about the United States is, you know, you have the Pacific Ocean and the Atlantic Ocean. You have these like natural moats that keep a lot of things at bay. But Hawaii is really out there as this island, the closest to at least other countries in the Pacific than any other place. And it does have a very real real life implications for what could happen. Like, it's not so far-fetched. I think if this happens in, you know, Montana or like Florida or maybe, I don't know, like Texas or something, maybe it's not taken as seriously. But in Hawaii, there's precedent for people to believe it rather than dismiss it.
Yeah. And of course, I mean, to state the obvious, the catch-22 is they're not running these drills in Montana or Iowa because it's not a possible threat, what they need to prepare for. So, yes. And even to take it a step further, I mean, we've talked a little bit about, on this show about, like, I think we did an episode about fallout shelters, and we've done some episodes about sort of the nuclear era. And I just think, you know, I've said it on the show before, but you talk to anyone who grew up was maybe school age in the 50s and early 60s, and I think it's hard to really overstate how much the sort of daily threat of annihilation was just in the air, so to speak, and was out there. And, you know, you hear it in this 38 minutes here, but to think about basically living a decade or a decade and a half where you're doing duck and cover drills, you're sort of walking and seeing fallout shelters in your neighborhood and imagining what that would look like. There are sort of false alarms or rumors or whatever, obviously the Cuban Missile Crisis, but just that we started talking about sort of the trauma of moments like that. It just makes me think of kind of how deeply embedded that is in an entire generation of people.
And how real the threat is, I think, is evident in the infrastructure that's still with us. I mean, you mentioned that the emergency management system was a Cold War relic. And, you know, these days it's often used for warnings about tornadoes or
hurricanes.
But in the 1950s and 60s, it was for your duck and cover drills and making sure that there was a workable civil defense in case the United States was ever the victim of a nuclear bomb, and that sort of lived presence of threat every day. I mean, people often talk today about how for school shootings for children, it's the same experience, that it's a threat that just lives with them every day. They do the duck and cover drills, they get the alerts, but it's a kind of generational trauma.
Some nuts and bolts. There are now, you know, more levels of supervision of people who have to sign off before there's a future drill. There's credentials officers have to sign in and validate every transmission of every alert and test. There's a false alert correction sort of protocol now. Software improvements, you know. Maybe just
safety rails.
More safety rails for sure. So one other thing I think about is, if you want to tell someone, let's say 10 years from now, 15 years from now, you want to sort of give someone a little tidbit impression of how crazy life under Trump was and is, you know, and how insane this sort of news cycle and moment was, I think you could make a pretty good case by saying there were 38 minutes where Hawaii thought and the world thought that Hawaii was just going to be blown off the earth. And that was probably like the ninth biggest story of that week. And, you know, like it just sort of slipped through the cracks. And like the next day, like there was some other outrage and craziness. I mean, I just, you know, to me, I'm like, this happened two years ago.
Man.
Like this should have been the biggest story ever. And part of me just even in real time remembers being like, huh, that was weird. And then we just moved on because probably we could probably go back and look. We should. But
it
like,
felt,
you know, the
longer
next day,
ago.
Trump,
like I thought it was like, in my head, I don't know why I was like, oh, in like 2012? Like I couldn't remember because all the years have been a blur. But that was a lot more recent than I recalled. And that should tell us something about the trauma we've all experienced.
We've lived many lives since then.
Yeah. 15, you know, things happen every day that would have been like the biggest story of the year, you know, 40 years ago or whatever. But 20 years ago. But let's end. Let's come back to this, you know, Snap Judgment episode that we really love. Kelly, the couple.
So there is, I highly recommend everyone go listen to this. There is a couple that have been engaged for 5 years and they basically are, you know, stuck together contemplating their last moments. And the woman is saying, you know, well, I don't want to die, not your wife. We should have just got married. We waited too long. And he says, well, yeah, if this turns out to be like a hoax, then that's the first order of business. And then when they come back to them, like a year later, they're going on year 6 of their engagement. They're still not married.
Haven't gotten around to it.
And haven't gotten around to it. They're like, you know what? We just refer to each other now as partner or spouse, because when we say fiance, people expect us to give them a wedding date, and they don't have one. Crazy.
Can't always trust those moments of clarity.
You know, I go both ways on that. Part of me is like, man, if that doesn't shake you out of your your stasis, then I don't know what will. And part of me is also like, loves the returning to just our usual habits and our usual foibles. And sometimes
we get to it when we get to it.
We get to it and we just go back to the simple inefficiencies of life after these big moments. But anyway, okay. That brings us to the end of the episode. Again, you know, go check out that episode of Snap Judgment if you want to hear some of the real voices from this. But thanks for doing this. Nicole Hemmer, thanks to you.
Thank you, Jody.
And Kelly Carter Jackson, thanks to you.
My pleasure.
And this morning, Hawaiian officials say they're determined to make sure that the false alarm that sent the entire state into panic never happens again.
Yeah, for 38 minutes yesterday, people feared that there was a missile flying through the air and about to hit Hawaii. And it's because of this alert. Ballistic missile threat inbound to Hawaii. Seek immediate shelter. This is not a drill.
Thank you. Radiotopia.